We received several letters this week critical of statistician Robert Lerner's study of conviction and non-conviction rates for blacks and whites accused of serious crimes. Lerner reported that a sample of 55,000 felonies reported in 1 month to the Department of Justice showed the rate of non-conviction for blacks and whites was about the same. For some crimes, a bit higher for blacks.
Several writers made the same point as sociology instructor D. Angus Vail of Willimantic, Connecticut. Mr. Lerner, he writes, is looking at the wrong end of the equation. The real issue is who is selected for prosecution to begin with. If he were looking at who gets arrested or detained, I think he would find that non-whites are selected as symbolic assailants far more often than whites.
Former prosecutor Frederick Overdeer writes from Cairo, Michigan, if even anecdotal evidence of racism among law enforcement is considered, then a greater percentage of minorities are undoubtedly improperly charged, such as when the charges are trumped up or baseless.
And Edward Kazabowski of the National Lawyers Guild Chicago chapter writes, police generally patrol black neighborhoods more heavily than white neighborhoods. Because of this increased level of surveillance, a black person who commits or is suspected of committing a crime in a black neighborhood is far more likely to be apprehended than a white person committing or suspected of committing a crime in a white neighborhood.
We received some email about Mara Liasson's report on the Clinton campaign and its very upbeat vision of the next 4 years. Listener Bill King called it one of the silliest reports ever aired on ATC. The whole premise of the report was unreal, that Clinton knows what is going to happen in places like Bosnia, Northern Ireland, and Russia, but is intentionally painting a rosy scenario for the election. Who were the jerks she was interviewing? They sounded like they either had some axe to grind or badly need to get a grip on the real world.
But Jeff Sloan in Pueblo West, Colorado, wrote to convey to Mara Liasson a million thanks for that story. Mr. Sloan says she explained exactly why Mr. Clinton had and then lost my vote in this election. The president's conservative, safe campaign on soft issues tells me nothing about what he plans to do in the next 4 years for the economy, entitlements, or the debt. Mr. Clinton has until November 5th to return to reality and help me change my mind. I'm not holding my breath.
Finally, this review of the poetry of Amy Gersler from Jason Bell in Charlottesville, Virginia, a self-described multi-decade fan of this program and lover of poetry. Please, he writes, edit recitations of this doggerel. Please find a new poetry scout. This is tennis without a ball or a court. Forget the net. Virgin of ambitious verse, please save us.
We read from your letters every Thursday. The email address is atc@npr.org. Our street address is Letters, All Things Considered, 635 Massachusetts Avenue Northwest, Washington, D.C. The zip code is 20001.
We mentioned the zip code last today to give us a moment to mark the passing of James Edward Day, Postmaster General of the United States in the Kennedy administration.
In those days, the job was still a cabinet post. There was nothing independent about the post office, and there was something different about our addresses. People lived in St. Louis 5, Missouri, or New York 9, New York. Among his other achievements, Postmaster General Day launched us into the era of the five-digit zip code. Mr. Day, a lawyer by profession and Navy veteran of World War II, died Tuesday at age 82 in Hunt Valley, Maryland. Zip code 21031.